right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And Reed got a block and a touchdown. Herbert over the middle, wide open at the 30-yard line. Is Stone smart? And Smart on the run, all the way in for the touchdown.
Watson.
Open. Watson got it. Touchdown, Packers.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Herbert, pressure in his face, throws.
Get out of here. And Allen's got it for a Charger touchdown. And Los Angeles takes the lead. Floating it for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Romeo Doubs. And the Packers go back on top.
Four-man rush. Herbert.
Batted down. Deflected away. Packers are going to win it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know, being on the wrong end of a lot of those games, you know, in the past. So to get a dub and pull out a close game like this, it feels great.
Huge at the end of the game. Our defense, I would say, bailed me out.
I mean, the message in the second half, you know, it's a 0-0 ball game. You know, let's go finish, you know.
I think these guys are bought in. I think they can, and I see it in their actions and how they go out and compete.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at the Abbott with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Oh, we love hearing that music. We hear that music on a Monday morning, and it can only mean one thing. It is a Victory Monday brought to you by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. Packers beat the Chargers at home 23-20. Yes, I realize they got a little help from the Chargers, but that's the way it goes in these close NFL games. Did you take advantage of the breaks you were dealt? Packers did. They won 23-20. 800-990-3776 if you want to react along with us today. Because the question is simple. I feel like we've been asking this the last handful of weeks. Have the Packers and Jordan Love gotten better the last 3 weeks? They've won 2 out of 3 games. Tight loss last week against the Steelers, but they bounced back at home with a win over the Los Angeles Chargers.
Enjoy the win. Don't overreact. Yes, they got better. They got better than they did last week. A lot of guys involved. Jordan played excellent. Missed some throws. Deep ball still an issue. But that's a good win. Good win.
And we dealt with some callers yesterday, Chew.
Yeah.
Where, well, I mean, the Chargers kind of handed it to him and all those things, right? Yes. Quentin Johnston dropped that ball. Without a doubt. Like, he was open. Dropped it. Straight up dropped it. But can you take advantage of those situations? What do you do with that? Like, I could make an argument that you got the route to your Super Bowl in 1996 was paved with a lucky drop.
No. That was the year before, Gabe.
Yeah, that was the year before. But, follow this with me.
Yeah.
So Yancey drops that in the back of the end zone. You guys win the division, get a home game instead of not winning the division and having to go on the road.
Correct.
So then you win at home, giving Atlanta? You the game against San Francisco. Winning that game against San Francisco and playing the way you guys did in Dallas and having that route, thanks to the Yancey Thigpen drop, gave you guys the confidence needed to be that 1996 team.
That's why I am just addressing the offense. I'm not addressing the defense because, Gabe, there was another 30 to 50 yards receiving out there that were just flat drops. Flat out drops.
There were guys
open.
Yeah.
I mean, these weren't, I got a guy on my hip, hit me right in the hands and dropped it. This is, I'm standing there by myself and dropped the ball. So I'm not going to talk about the defense, and we're going to get into that because me and you talked earlier about our fears when it comes to the D.
Yep.
But the offense looked very good. Looked very good. Yes, they got better.
How much do you think that is because it seems that they've accepted their number one wide receiver is Jaden Reed?
Correct. Yes. And the gaps aren't very big, right? From 1 to 4?
Mm-hmm.
Between Wicks, Doubs, Watson. But I think Reed is your most consistent. He's explosive. He's only going to get better. And I would just do a weekly, whoever grades out the highest and the second highest of those four are starting the next game. Would you be on board with that?
I mean, yes, I would 100% be on board for that.
Create a little competition there. Just, I don't care where you were drafted. Whoever grades out the two highest graders the previous week are starting the next week. And I think that's a good way to go about it. Create a little competition within those four because it's only going to make them better.
Not just start, but I would say get the majority of the snaps because the one thing I can't for the life of me figure out, Chu, is why you're not getting and seeing more snaps for Dontayvion Wicks.
Yeah, he's that one run was impressive where they thought they had him down.
Yeah, where
two guys had a shot at him and he turned it into like a 30-something yard gain.
Yeah.
They're explosive. That's today's NFL, you know? It's all about explosion, and they have. I haven't seen it from Dobbs, though. I mean, Dobbs is all I do is catch touchdowns, kind of.
Sure.
And, you know, we talk a lot about Watson, but he has explosiveness, hasn't shown it as much as those other two. That's why next week going into Detroit, Gabe,
yeah,
I'm starting Reed and I'm starting Wicks.
Well, so the snap breakdown from yesterday, offensively, went like this. Christian Watson played 56 snaps, which was 78%. Jaden Reed, 50 snaps, 69%. Romeo Doubs, 49 snaps, 68%. And then Dontayvion Wicks, just 24 snaps. Like, has Christian Watson earned 22 more snaps? Or, excuse me, 32 more snaps than Dontayvion Wicks?
Probably not.
Like, what? Every time the dude's on the field. And I think there was one route, there was one that he dropped, and there was another one, I think, kind of thrown his way, where Sanchez, who was doing the game for Fox yesterday with Kevin Kugler, where Mark Sanchez was like, oh, maybe he ran the wrong route here. But if we're granting, you know, oh, well, if Dobbs runs the wrong route or Watson, if we're talking about growth, and I brought this point up last night. So if part of the reason that you did not want a veteran wide receiver or tight end on this roster is so these guys could learn and grow together, and you didn't want, you know, any veteran receiver blocking snaps from guys. Well, what if you have somebody who's blocking snaps that's also a young guy? Because isn't that what's happening with Christian Watson and Dontayvion Wicks? Am I missing something that Dontayvion No. Wicks shouldn't be playing more? Because when the dude's on the field the last 3 weeks, Chu,
yeah,
he's been
he makes plays
one of their best two receivers. It's been him and Reed that have really stood out.
But the organization and the coaching staff do feel the pressure that is on Watson. They do hear the rumblings. They do hear about the clips, just like his dad. They saw his potential last year. He's not playing up to what he did last year. So they're trying to help him along. I mean, yes, balance it out a little more, but I really like those two. And I think moving forward, I think right now Watson is a little bit of a one-trick pony. Not as explosive as the other two. I'm not saying you get rid of them, but it's a luxury, Gabe, to have. And even though they're young. And like I said, this isn't overreaction Monday. They had a nice game.
Mm-hmm.
But if they continue to track in the direction they are, that's a nice option to have our four receivers that can play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, there's – and one of those four could still emerge and end up being the best of the group. Like, they don't have – I mean, everybody's playing nice. Nobody's, like, really emerged as that, oh, this is going to be the stud. This is the guy. You know, like, nobody's, I would say, has emerged to that point, right? Would you agree with that?
I would say they're all pretty close. There's no really big gaps. I mean, if you look at their day – Wicks, 3 for 91, Dobbs, 5 for 53, Reed, 4 for 46, and Watson, 2 for 21. So they all kind of have the same game, right? There's no, where you look at the other side, it's Keenan Allen, 10 for 116, and the next closest guy is their tight end, 4 for 57.
But that's the type of game I want to see one of these guys have.
Yeah.
You know, before the end of the season, I'd like to see that happen.
I think it'll come.
Because now
But Gabe, there's nothing. When we had our offense back in the day, 96.
Yeah.
I mean, we had good players. I mean, Free was a good player. He wasn't perennial All-Pro or Pro Bowl player. We all had guys that were good, and we had tremendous balance. You give me five guys that are good over one or two guys that are game breakers.
Oh, I couldn't disagree with that more.
Why is that?
Because you...
So you would take San Diego's offense over Green Bay's two...
Yeah.
Take the youth out of these guys. I'm taking this receiving core over stud number one and an okay number two.
No, those stud number ones, like, that's... To me, like, then everybody else just kind of falls in behind that. If you've got a stud, that's what separates you in today's NFL.
Would you call Keenan Allen a stud?
He has been, yes.
Yeah, he has been this year.
Yeah, I mean, he has been, like...
In most of his career.
Yeah, over the course of his career, like, Keenan Allen's been a stud.
I don't know. I like this balance. I'm projecting 2 years down the road here.
Yeah.
When you got Musgrave and those four guys, or even three of them, if they keep continuing on this path...
Like one of those guys, though, I mean, if all four are going to be sticking around, like one of them is going to be a stud. Like you just you just need to have, in today's NFL, like you need to have some sort of stud, whether it's your wide receivers, whether it's your tight ends, too. Like you need to have that go-to guy. You still need to have that guy that's going to separate and kind of establish himself as that stud number one receiver.
But that's why you have to hit these windows when they appear. Because if they all track, let's say 2 years down the road, they're really, really... You can't keep all of them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's
There's
a, yeah.
your window.
Uh-huh.
So you got to make hay. Which leads us to the defense.
Well, the window... By the way, the window for Dobbs and Watson, I mean, they only have 2 years left on their contract after this year.
Correct.
So it's, you know, who knows between those two who ends up sticking around. You really want to talk about the defense? I thought we were doing the positive thing. I think we were talking about the fun stuff, the offensive stuff, the Victory Monday stuff.
They got to stop.
All right. They got to stop. Is that what you said?
It's what Josh said. Yeah.
It was tongue in cheek. I don't.
No,
really
I am aware. I am aware. I know it's a Monday.
Factually, Josh's statement is correct.
Yes.
That cannot be disputed. They did get the stop. Otherwise, they would not have won 23-20.
No.
What do you mean,
What would you give for grades?
Like offense, defense?
Yeah.
Special teams?
Who cares about special teams?
Special teams were very good.
Yeah.
They were?
They weren't.
They were not very good.
Oh.
Like when you have two missed kicks and on your opening kickoff return for the game, one guy gets called for two penalties, it's rough stuff. It's rough.
What did he do?
I don't know. They never showed a replay, but he obviously, I don't know if he bumped an official.
It seems like it looked like, and I've heard people talk about, it looks like he said something, which you have to say something probably pretty bad to get flagged for it.
Can I ask you a dumb question?
Yeah, sure. Even though most of them are for you.
Let me ask two dumb questions.
Damn, oh, wow, two.
He's white?
Dalen Levitt?
Yeah.
Yes.
In what position does he play?
Special teams.
Yeah, he's technically...
So he doesn't have a designated position.
I mean, technically, I think he's a...
Safety.
Yeah.
I think if he had to play on the field, he would be playing at safety. But they don't want that.
He's
got to
change his number.
Why? What's wrong with six?
It's a horrible number.
What's wrong with six?
For a safety / linebacker? You only wear six if you're cool. Dude, you're not cool. You're trying to make the team here. Am I right?
I can't. I'm actually struggling to think of, like... And again,
I know exactly where I'm going, Gabe. The guy that played at Michigan that went to Cleveland, that was the tweener, drafted about 3-4 years ago.
Oh, it was more than 3-4 years ago. You're talking about Jabril Peppers.
Jabril Peppers can get away with wearing five.
Not in the NFL. He wasn't cool in the NFL. He was cool in college.
I believe he's
But he could pull it off.
Patriot.
Is he
Six
a Patriot
is not
now?
Working. Yeah. What number should Levitt be? He should, whatever 43. Timmy Hunt was, or... Even Travis Jervis, 32 on him would look better than 6.
Yeah, 46. What about 46?
39.
46 would work. 30 Mike Pryor commitments, that would work. Dude, you got to lose a 6. In order to wear 6, you got to make more plays.
So you're telling me that if you're strictly a special teamer, outside of obviously like punter and kicker because they wear single digits
Correct.
All the time.
Yeah.
If you're strictly, if you are a positional player in the NFL, but you're mostly only playing special teams, you cannot wear a single digit.
Correct.
That's the Chewy rule.
Yeah.
Chewy was right.
I agree.
Holy. Chewy was right.
Yes.
I did not expect to be sitting here breaking down Dallin Levitt's number on a Victory Monday, yet here we are. Chewy also wants to break down the defense as, there were some good, there were some bad. But we want to hear from you, 800-990-3776. Have the Packers and Jordan Love gotten better the last 3 weeks? And how does that make you feel about the Packers going forward? 800-990-3776. Victory Monday brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Cillian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Your reaction on have the Packers and Jordan Love gotten better? Next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this
did
elite
we drink the
defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here's Reed. And Reed with. Oh! And Reed got a block and a touchdown! Luke Musgrave opened the door, leading to Reed's Lambeau.
Something else that I've been missing the last couple of weeks. I had a buddy who was just constantly texting me about the lack of Lambeau leaps.
Yeah.
And he had three.
Tucker Kraft got his first Lambeau leap. It didn't count, but he left.
Found himself in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
Expedited replay was able to correct that one pretty quick.
Sick play, though, if he would have stayed in.
Oh, I've been so sick. 800-990-3776. If you want to react along with us, Packers, Jordan Love, have they gotten better over the last 3 weeks? What does that mean? What does that mean for you going forward? And Chewy, you wanted to talk about the defense. I was under the impression that you didn't want to talk about the defense today because you started last segment saying, oh, I'm not concerned about the defense. Yet here we are with you ending the segment saying, let's talk about the defense. What about the defense do you want to talk about?
I don't really evaluate the defense because I want them gone.
Okay.
All right, let me ask you this, both of you. Josh, you answer this too. What do you think of San Diego's defense?
It's underperforming.
Yeah.
Is it bad?
It's not good.
Yeah. And middling.
Okay, so if you're going to say that, if you look at the team stats for both teams, they're identical.
Yeah.
They're identical. So you can't go, Green Bay's defense is okay, pretty good, and San Diego stinks. Because there was at least another,
Quentin Johnston.
If he catches that ball at the end of the game, how big a gain is that?
I think it could be a touchdown because there's nobody there. And for whatever reason, Valentine's just stopped running. Now he's got to gear back up and get going. Yeah. It's not like he's running.
He's a total bad attitude rookie. You know, he's a little better than he thinks because he dropped another corner route that was a catchable ball earlier in the game. All I'm saying is, look, drops happen, right, Gabe?
Yes.
Yes.
Josh,
yeah, sorry, I was sneezing. I didn't want to do it in the microphone.
But you rarely see four or five drops in a game that are uncontested and dropped.
I've seen the Packers do it.
Uncontested, though?
Yeah.
No, you see a few with a guy on the hip. He might have a step, hits him in the hands, and drops it. But, the tight end over the middle, beginning of the game, Parm, whatever his name is, Parham. I'm just saying, there was at least another 40, 50 yards. So that 400 yards that they gave up is really 450. Here's the problem, Gabe, and you brought it up.
Yes.
All right, the meat of their schedule is right now. End of the year, even though Chicago played better yesterday, the Giants played better, some of those teams on the back end that we chalk up as pretty confident wins, I don't know so much anymore. It's the false hope where they get through this stretch, don't really look great, but then we get to the end of the year and he does a nice job stopping them and we spin our wheels again next year. I think the offense, I like where the offense is at right now. I like the players they have. I like the trajectory they're on. I like Jordan Love. Jordan Love's coming back next year. I just don't want to waste another year of spinning wheels because this offense can only get better, and it's going to get better. I don't know if it'll ever be a top five offense. but let's say they're 6, 7, 8. You need a defense that is 9, 10, 11.
So the question when it comes to the defense, the biggest question, and we'll never have it answered, because I don't know if there's just no way that Matt LaFleur is ever going to answer it on the record. What's important to him? What does he value statistically when it comes to the defense? Because now after yesterday, the Packers have fallen down to 17th in yards per game, but they're still 10th in points. So if he's just, hey, 10th in points is good enough for me, and that's, to be honest with you, Chu, that's probably right where the Packers end up being. Because while the Lions coming up on Thursday have a really good offense, and the Chiefs in 2 weeks, they've been an underperforming offense, but you still have to deal with Mahomes and Kelsey. Like, the teams at the back half of the schedule, the last five teams, are not offensive juggernauts. Kind of like what this kind of stretch of the schedule has been up until, you know, the Chargers, where you had the Raiders and you're playing the Steelers and teams of that ilk. So, I mean, you take a look at where they could be statistically, it could be very well, very similar to where they were a year ago, which led Matt LaFleur to bringing Joe Barry back.
Here's the thing to me about the defense. I don't think anybody from the outside is under any delusion about what Joe Barry's defense is and how poor to middling they often are. The problem is the people in Green Bay seem to be suffering from that exact delusion. They seem to be convincing themselves that the answer is in-house.
Well, so I'll tell you this as well. I'm sure somebody... I will be shocked if after all that was made of last week, on Monday with Matt LaFleur having to explain that they look at outside linebackers as defensive ends when they go into nickel, to then Joe Barry on Thursday during his availability talking about how he thinks they can stop the run when they're in the nickel. There was a goal-to-go situation where they were in that sub-package for all three plays, and the Packers forced a field goal.
Yeah,
I'm willing to bet somebody is going to point that out throughout the course of the week, whether it's LaFleur himself or whether it's Barry on Thursday. If I noticed it, I know they did as well. Someone's going to point it out to make sure that we know they did something good out of the nickel package in goal-to-go situations.
I do think it's important to note, though, that it has changed, that nickel package they were in. In one instance, they brought Lucas Van Ness into a five technique position and played Quay Walker at a stand-up position that Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith were. So something changed a little bit.
Yes.
There was a difference made there.
Yes.
Because clearly they decided, hey, this probably ain't working the way we wanted to.
That's not the point, Josh. The point is...
Yes.
Because, they don't want to dive into the nuances of the thing.
Right.
As evidenced by the way they talked about it last week. Yes, they made changes. They're going to ignore that fact.
Yeah. Let me ask the two of you this. And I believe, and I don't care, because the Packers have lost games they should have won, and they probably won this one where they had a strong possibility of losing, because I think the Chargers left 14 points out there, right? 10. Say 10.
Minimum 10. With the potential of 14. I'm not sure if Keenan Allen makes that one at the goal line if he gets in or not.
What are we saying if Herbert drives him down, field goal, tie it up, and they lose in overtime? Then what are we saying today? We're still saying the offense, hey, they look good. They're coming along. This is a positive step. What are we saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about this team scoring three touchdowns for the first time since week two.
Yes.
We're talking about Jordan Love having that first 300-yard passing game, ending a 31-game streak for the Packers. We're talking about how Dontavian Wicks continued to make big plays. We're talking about Jaden Reed and how he's clearly a focal point of this offense, where it's not, hey, you know, and you pointed this out when we did All 22 last week on Friday. And again, if you want to see Chewy breaking down five key plays from the previous week's game on Fridays at 9 a.m., we released the All 22, where Chewy's football brain gets to do some work. Where last week, Jaden Reed's biggest play was just kind of on a, hey, I'm going to throw it over here, hope you make the adjustments, and it was at the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a designed play for Jaden Reed. He was a clear-out guy who ended up, you know, adjusting to a ball when he was in the air.
Yeah.
This week, obviously he had three carries, so those are plays designed for him.
Yes.
And And I would say it seemed like the way they got rid of the ball quickly in a number of the targets that he had, he was going to be the number one read for a lot of the plays that they designed this week.
Yes, as he should be. As he should be. So, but what I'm saying is if they lost the game in overtime, what are we saying about the defense? Like, what's your feeling on the defense after this game? They were okay?
They were okay.
Because fine is not good enough, Gabe.
No, I completely understand that. And that's where they're at. They're fine.
Yeah.
Like I like the way that Valentine plays. The more I see of Carrington Valentine, I like the way that he plays. He had three more pass breakups yesterday. That's not to say that he doesn't have his bleep ups.
Yeah.
Because again, he just stopped running behind Quentin Johnston yesterday.
Yes.
And that could have cost them the game. But for a seventh round rookie,
yeah,
to step into the fire the way he's been forced to because Jair's been hurt and you traded your other corner and Eric Stokes had another unfortunate injury, like he has stepped up. You want to talk about guys stepping up?
Yes.
He is somebody that has stepped up and I've been impressed with and I want to see more of going forward. Not to say that he's going to be a starting cornerback for 10 years for the Packers, but he's earned the reps and he's earned the opportunity to play.
And we think that he's just going to get better, correct?
Yes.
I think that's the rub with Christian Watson. Sophomore slump?
Maybe, but at the same time, so again, the thing I struggle with Watson is, yes, I want to get him reps, but if this is about competition, I don't want him to get reps by default when you have somebody like Dontavian Wicks who's clearly playing better than him and you're not giving Wicks the reps that maybe he deserves to go out there and continue to grow.
Right now, only reason Christian Watson's earning snaps is because where he was drafted.
100%.
Which is not right.
And his production last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, what did Jen text in the second half yesterday during our text chain? Has Watson even been targeted yet? I mean, he didn't get his first catch until...
No, it was the second half. He got targeted where he didn't catch one near the end zone. But shortly after the question was asked, he had a false start.
Oh, he had a false start. That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I said, there's Watson.
Found him.
Yeah, so... Christian Watson is a conundrum to me because... Again, I don't want to give up on him.
No.
And I think he deserves reps. And I don't want to just bench him. But at the same time, I'm okay with taking some of his. I mean, he had the most snaps of any wide receiver yesterday.
Yeah. Correct.
I would make the argument he has not earned that.
You know what he deserves? Is competition.
Yes.
Shouldn't
it be? He deserves competition at this point. And competition means, hey, Christian, we're going to start Dontavian this week. Now, here's the problem. And to me, with all his injuries and, looking like he got taken out by a sniper, probably a sensitive guy. So the coaching staff now has to balance, if we don't start him as a second-round pick after the year he had last year, is he going to go in the tank? Because I played with guys like that. That will go in the tank. And that's probably another reason why he's getting the reps he is.
Well, then,
and he's starting. I know it's a big boy league game, but there are guys like that.
I understand, but then you got to perform.
I agree.
The next step now for the Packers, they haven't scored 30 points since week one. They've done it once.
Yeah.
That's the next step. Like, I've talked about the progression that I've wanted to see. And we've started to see that from Jordan Love. We've started to see that from the offense. All right, we've checked off scoring three touchdowns in a game for the first time since week two. We've checked off getting that 300-yard passing game. Now the next check mark? This team used to average 30 points per game.
Correct.
Now the next check mark is, all right, now we're being efficient enough with our offense where we're not settling for 52-yard field goals. We're not settling for those kicks. We're punching into the end zone, and we're getting up to 30 points. That's the next building block. And I think it's going to be tough if you're giving a lot of those reps to Christian Watson now with the way he's playing.
The other thing, Gabe, they're going up against a team that the last time they played him just rushed four guys. And without a running game now, without a strong running game.
Look, I'm not saying score 30 points against the Lions. I'm just saying.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going.
No, I'm not saying against the Lions. I'm saying that's my next – And it, look, it could be tough because the Chiefs' defense has been underrated this year, and it could be over the next 2 weeks tough to get to that 30-point mark. But I'm saying, like, that's the next step. That's the next evolution. And again, like, you don't always take – growth isn't linear. You're not going to take that next step on Thursday against the Lions, especially as beat up as you are. But that's the next one I want to see. I want to see 30 points.
But what are we expecting for growth for this next upcoming game?
I don't know if I'm expecting a lot of growth in this next upcoming game.
Not linear.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep saying that.
Yeah. It may look like they take a step back because the Lions are a really damn good football team. And you're playing them on a short week.
Yeah.
And you're
beat up.
Yeah.
Like, then I don't feel great about this game. No. And Vegas feeling very good about the Lions. It opened at 7.5. So I'll beat you to that one because I know you're going to ask.
Okay.
We've got some reaction rolling in. We'll get to it on that talk and text line, 800-990-3776, coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But I want you to get perked up because I want to tell you guys about Perky's Old Fashioned. It's an old-fashioned mix with the booze already inside. They have brandy bourbon and now for a limited time, cranberry brandy option. So you can get Grandma Perky's Secret wherever, whenever. I want to try out this week. I mean, I know you're going to be getting together with family at some point. Maybe you're getting together with friends. Whatever holiday celebration you have, I want to try out that cranberry brandy option. Because with Perky's Old Fashioned, all you need is the soda. Whether you're a sweet person, a sour person, you just add the soda and you're ready to go. Find Perky's near you. Perky'sOldFashioned.com. Perky's Old Fashioned, locally made, Wisconsin made. Your bartender in a bottle.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog, the corn dog for the birthday.
Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Second down, up the sideline goes Tucker. Kraft still going, leaping, toe tapping, and in for a Packer touchdown.
Packers win 23-20 over the Chargers. Now they're beat up. They have a short week, and they got to figure out what they're going to be doing at the running back position going forward. So, I think, too, because it looks like they averted disaster, it looks like it's not going to be a season-ending injury for Aaron Jones. But I will just say this, because it has happened before, and not that I'm saying it's going to happen today, but Jason pointed it out yesterday, and I'm guessing he's going to point it out again today, because his co-host on Wilde and Tausch, Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, tore his ACL twice. Tausch had two ACL injuries in his career, and I think it was the second time he passed the push-pull test, and then did the MRI, found out he was torn ACL. So it's rare, but it's known to happen that you pass kind of the initial tests and you don't think it's an ACL, and then it can still turn out to be a major injury. But right now, the Packers believe they've avoided major injury with Aaron Jones. Think it's probably just an MCL injury. It's not going to be long term, but there's no way he's going to end up playing on a Thursday. And not even just Thursday night. You're playing Thursday, I guess. Technically, it's afternoon because it's 12:30 kickoff Eastern time. But for us, it's Thursday morning. You're playing at 11:30 a.m.
I mean, if it's an MCL, then it's a 2-4.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be closer to 4. But it was weird how he grabbed his knee. I don't know if you saw the replay of it. He grabbed his knee right away.
I mean, clearly, based on his reaction, he thought it was going to be season-ending.
Yeah. But there's still other ones in there, like the patella.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of ligaments in there that you could tear. But if it's not going to be the ACL, then yes, he is.
So what do you do at running back in a short week?
And they were bad yesterday. Can we agree on that? I mean, Jaden Reed was great, but those are
specialty runs. Those are end rounds. Yeah,
those are gadget. So you take the 46 away. I mean, A.J. Dillon's average was 2.1. This is going to afford teams moving forward to play them differently.
And look, I mean, it's not like they were effective with Aaron Jones the last couple of weeks anyway. No. Like the running game for the Packers, and I don't know if that's part of this kind of offensive line shuffle that they're going through? Because that's something I want to ask Rob Dabosky about when he joins us in about 45 minutes. I want to ask Demo about what the hell they're doing on the offensive line, because they literally played Walker and Yosh Nijman at left tackle about 50-50, which you just don't see.
Well, Detroit's going to be one of these teams, and a front like that where you have four pretty good players, you know how they stop the run? On the way to the quarterback. That's what they tell them.
The question I wanted to ask you about the running back position, Chu, because I saw there was a text here on the talking text line, 800-990-3776, from Mo in Montana, saying, yes, they're getting better. Now go call Mason Crosby and Tyler Goodson to keep it going. So I doubt they're going to bring in Mason Crosby. They're going to be rolling with Anders Carlson going forward.
Yeah.
But Tyler Goodson was somebody who was with the Packers, is currently on the Colts practice squad, so you could elevate him to your roster. Or Patrick Taylor, who had been on the team earlier this year, is, I don't believe, on anybody's practice squad. I think he's just out there right now. Do you have to go and sign one of those two, somebody who's familiar with what you do and has been on the team? Or is running back, for lack of a better term, easy enough of a position where if there's somebody else you like on a practice squad somewhere, you could just pluck them and they could be effective as well?
I would probably go to one of those two players because they're kind of Aaron Jones super light.
Sure.
They have his same style of game. A.J. Dillon is really not that huge. He's more of a fullback kind of receiver. I mean, he's not going to catch a ball and take it 25, 30 yards. I would probably go call up one of those other guys. The weird one was Emmanuel Wilson, right? When he went down, because I watched that over and over, and he never got hit, which would lead me to believe if he dislocated his shoulder, my guess is he had like a torn labrum before that. Because did you guys see the replay? I was looking for, where did he separate his shoulder?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where like he was going for a stiff arm and he just got hit in the right place at the right angle at the right time, and it probably popped it out. And maybe there was some sort of pre-existing injury that made it pop out easier to, but I feel like you see that every once in a while in the NFL where it's just like you get hit at the right angle at the right time. Nothing looks all that serious. And it's just like, oh.
And I kind of liked him because he was kind of a tweener.
Sure.
He was kind of between Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, and he's got some speed to him. That's kind of been his big thing.
That's disappointing. But they're going to have to do something with this run game because otherwise teams are just going to sit back and say, let him run the ball all day long, you know.
So I looking at some of this reaction, this from DW and Plover, saying Gabe, 9, meaning Christian Watson, has drawn two defenders a lot this year. I think he plays a lot of snaps simply to give others more opportunities. Plus, he had some great blocks yesterday, DW and Plover.
We love those receivers that can block, Sammy Watkins! Right?
I don't care how good of a blocker you are right now.
It didn't really translate to the run game, though. So his blocks never really paid off for him, but we appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, he had the one good block on the outside.
Yeah.
That set up a big play. But I'm going to tell you this right now. If we are talking about your production in terms of how good of a blocker you are.
Yes.
That's not a good sign for you going forward.
Great, you have Alan Lazard.
Like a third or a fourth receiver.
Yeah.
Certainly not a number one.
Because you know who we never talked about how good of a blocker he was?
Free?
Devontae Adams.
Devontae? Yeah.
Jordy Nelson?
Yeah.
We never talked about... And look, those guys made good blocks at times, but we never, not once, sat here going, you know who had really good blocks yesterday, guys? Yeah. You know who really helped out in the run game yesterday?
Yeah.
Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
The thing about the Christian Watson stat, I've seen it get thrown around a lot about how he's facing double coverage. All that means is teams typically play that too high shell more often, and Christian Watson knows how to do one thing, and that's run straight and fast. So I guess that's two things. So that's why it's safety. They're not lining up like they would with Devontae with two guys and saying, beat us.
Yeah.
It's just he's just drawing an extra guy because he's running down the field.
Because otherwise you wouldn't have been able to score the touchdown you did with him yesterday.
That's not doubling him either. That's giving him a little extra attention because he can run. But, I said it, and it's translating. He has to learn how to become a good route runner. Doesn't have to be great, just a good route runner. And he's not there yet. That's why you see Reed make so many plays and Wicks. Because there was a nice stop route over the ball that was textbook. He ran it perfectly. I can't remember if it was Wicks or Reed, how he goes to 12, puts the brakes on, and then comes back to the ball, picks up the first down, great play, move the chains. That was a really, really good route.
Yeah.
Great transition in and out. That's what he has to learn how to do.
Yeah, I just...
And we're not saying he can't do it, Gabe.
No.
He just hasn't shown it yet, and this is what you get when you get a receiver from an FCS school.
Correct. And when you have somebody producing like Dontayvion Wicks, doesn't Wicks. So my question to DW. So we haven't seen the production. Have not seen the production out of Christian Watson this year. We've seen production out of Dontayvion Wicks. Three catches, 91 yards yesterday. So all three catches with a long of 35. So it's not like he made 81. So the three catches he had were significant plays in the game. Doesn't he deserve more snaps?
I agree. Yeah.
That's my only question for people out there who may be saying, hey, you can't take snaps away from Christian Watson.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I think you can.
If the other guy's playing better, you can certainly take him away, and that might light a fire under Watson's ass and says, you know what, I'm taking my job back. He can go one of two ways if they do this. Mm-hmm. He can pout and play the injury card like he's done so far, or he can say, you know what, I am kind of riding off of what I did last year. I need to pick this thing up.
And why not find out this season?
I agree.
If he's that guy. If he's going to pout about it or if he's going to perform better.
This roster on offense should be all about, we are going to reward you if you make plays. I don't have time to, if I hurt your feelings, if I'm not playing you.
Yep.
That's not what this team can be all about.
I think it's pretty simple.
Yes.
I want to hear about Chewy's weekend. I want to know how it went. I want to know, because we talked about this last week. He was going to Columbus. He's going to went to a tailgate for Minnesota and Ohio State. I want to know if Chewy actually ended up going to the game. I've got a lot of questions to follow up after we talked about Chewy's weekend last week and how he had to dress up. Of course, I'm putting dress up in air quotes because all he had to do was wear jeans and a quarter zip sweater. That was dressing up in Chewy's world. So we're going to check in on that, see how that went for the big guy coming up next. But it is Victory Monday, brought to us by our friends at Palermo's Pizza. It's Wisconsin's hometown pizza. Delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. I was sitting here watching the game yesterday with a Palermo's pizza. It goes great with football. So you can find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer. Chewy's weekend next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we get? I am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, I mean, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Talking about the Packers running back situation, they got to find somebody before their game on Thursday. Dan Muskego saying, isn't James Robinson on our practice squad hitting scup 800-990-3776? He is not. He was released from that practice squad. The running back on the team's practice squad, Ellis Merriweather. But you could elevate him, and you're still going to need one. Like, I don't think the Packers are going to want just two running backs active heading into the game on Thursday. You're probably going to have to sign at least one, even if you plan on elevating Ellis Merriweather. Any guesses on where Ellis went to college?
I'm going to say he went to Kentucky.
I know he's a small school guy.
Yep. Small school guy is correct.
I don't know which school it is.
UMass Amherst.
That's
UMass
my hometown.
Amherst.
I live probably 6 minutes from UMass Amherst. You know what the football is at UMass Amherst? Not very good.
Built that up and then just seemed so disappointed. Did you end up going and watching any college football in person this weekend, Jim?
I did not.
Wow.
I did not. I stayed at the hotel bar across the street. Let me just say this.
Okay.
We might run over here, Joshy, a little bit.
That's okay.
So it all started with the travel. Had to dress up. But I was limited because all I could bring is a backpack, Gabe.
Okay.
So you know you can't put a lot of stuff in a backpack.
Nope.
So you got to be kind of smart on how you pack, because my wife...
I mean, it depends upon the size of the backpack, so...
It wasn't very big.
So, quick side story, Chew. When I went to Scotland a couple of years ago,
yes,
and all of my clothes did not make it to Scotland, and then I had to purchase clothes in Scotland, like, I didn't want to buy, like, luggage, because I already have luggage, right?
Yeah.
So, I got to the airport, and I went and bought a backpack that I could then store all of the clothes that I had purchased and worn for the past week into something. So, if you have a decent-sized backpack, you can fit, you know, a week's worth of clothes, is all I'm saying.
What? Not with size 13 shoes, which I only brought the pair I was wearing. Okay? So in my backpack, you know, you had the toiletry bag, underwear, you had shorts and a t-shirt to walk around the hotel, go get coffee and breakfast. And then I had 2 days' worth of clothes.
Sure.
So it all started with my new fancy shoes, my Cole Haans that were blue.
Ooh.
With a little bit of leather in them.
Oh,
right?
Man. Sounds real good.
But I had Peds. Can you wear white Peds with blue sneakers and jeans?
What are Peds?
They're like socks that really don't come out of the shoe too much, but they kind of do.
So can you wear the white socks?
Do I have to have a dark sock on?
No. Are you wearing pants?
Am I wearing what?
Pants.
Yeah,
jeans.
I had jeans.
Yeah, like if so. So I am wearing. I almost have like ankle socks. So I'm wearing blue shoes today. You can see it on the video. Like I got a little bit.
That's the look I had. Exactly.
Yeah, I got the joggers.
Gabe.
I got the joggers on.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of the white sticking out, but I think that's fine because the bottom part of my blue shoe is white, so it's kind of white, blue, white. It's fine.
But the problem was this: I get on the plane with the socks and this type of shoe, my bone spur's killing me.
Oh no.
So I had to take my shoes off on the plane.
Damn it, Chewy.
I had to, but
no.
I hit it real well.
No.
I hit it real well, so I disregarded the socks. Now I can't wear socks for the rest of the trip to Ohio. So then I got blisters now. But here's my takeaway from Ohio State. Game day experience, horrible. And I measure everything against Wisconsin. If Wisconsin is a 10, which I believe it is,
yep.
Ohio State is a 6.
Wow.
Iowa's better. Michigan State is better. Little arrogance.
Well, I mean, they do put the in front of their university.
Little
so.
Bit of arrogance. Totally disappointing. I was this is Ohio State's version of tailgating?
Have you been to Michigan for a game?
Yes, horrible.
So
now, they are snooty, and they know they're snooty, but Ohio State is not that far behind.
Again, you've got the phrase Michigan man and the Ohio State University. The fact that those fan bases are a little snooty when it comes to their tailgating. But I would think that you would fit in because that means if you're snooty in tailgating, chances are you've got some wine that you're going to appreciate at the tailgate, big guy.
I thought it was very disappointing. Yeah, there was wine. It was fine. Would I go back? No.
Were there any parents? So you met parents of your daughter's friends, right?
Yes.
Like everybody was at the. Was anybody was anybody annoying to you because you're a former football guy? Ask you too many football questions?
No, it was very good, but these parents tank, man. I'm not a tank.
Excuse me.
I am not a tank. I'm here. I hit a level. Right there, I flatten out.
Cruising
These
altitude.
People were like the Packers offense. They're just getting better and better and better. You know? They're begging me at 9:30 to stay out Saturday night when I got to catch a 8 o'clock flight. I'm like, it's over. Done. Now, Angie was a little ticked because Angie likes to let her hair down every now and then. But I'm out. Out.
Okay, you can't... All right, so here's my problem with you saying you're not a tank. Because, I mean, first of all, you are. You gave Josh a hard time a couple of weeks ago because Josh did not go out on a Friday night because he knew he was going to be going hard on a Saturday because he was going to a concert. So you gave him a hard time for, you know, knowing his limitations. And now you're giving yourself credit for knowing your limitations?
Yeah, because the most important thing when you do something like that and you tank is sleep. because I had to be the responsible one in the morning because I had to wake one of the boys up who got in at 3, and I'm waking him up at 6.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to work Uber. I have it, but I don't know how to work it. So I had to wake him up to order the Uber, which was late, and get, without me being the responsible one at 9:30, we're probably still in Columbus. And I don't get enough credit for it.
Thank you for your service.
it seems like you want some of the credit.
This is credit fishing.
Yeah, look, it seems Gabe, like you're throwing the line out there looking for a little credit.
4 o'clock, am I the responsible one? No. 5:30, no. But when 9 o'clock rolls around at night and daddy wants to go to bed, I'm the responsible one. So I should get a little more credit than I do.
Josh, how do you feel about a grown man saying the word daddy there?
I don't like it when Chu says it, and I don't like it either when Matt LaFleur says, which we'll hear.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur did say it. We'll hear him say it. Yeah, well, you'll hear the context in which he said it. We'll do that in 2 minutes on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Victory Monday, brought to us by Palermo's Pizza.